What is this curl? Gina curl. How are you feeling the Gina curl?
I'm liking the Gina curl.
Still liking it?
I'm okay. Liking the Gina curl. It's ready to go.
Okay, okay.
Something that you got naturally.
The loose beach waves.
Oh.
The Cali boys.
That's not actually, so mine's like this more, so it's like around like this is the real texture, but yeah. What happens is that because I'm always pulling it.
Oh, it straightens.
It straightens it out, and so that's why I get so this long. Like,
so you get the fake Gina curl, but the real Gina curl because you don't have to put no product in it.
Yeah. Do you put product in your hair?
Not
a little
really.
Cantu, a little nothing.
Cantu. I thought you were about to plug your promo code right quick.
No. Oh, I forgot about it. See, that's why they don't get any money from me. Because I forget about it. I do use Bounce Curl and Rockin'.
And what's your promo code?
That wouldn't work
Bounce
on my hair.
Curl, the code is LOS10.
Hey.
There it is. 10%.
I'm going to get started.
I'm going to eat. Well,
oh, okay.
I'm about to start us right
there
now.
There we go. We started now.
I like that.
What?
This road.
Welcome back to another episode of Enjoy the Podcast. We got our wine.
Yep. Yes.
You got your water.
We got my water.
We are your hosts. I'm Jared Brady. This is Lovely Los. And we don't have JD again.
He's sickly. The boy is sickly.
The boy is sickly. He's not healthy today. No, so get better. Get well.
He's got a migraine.
He has a migraine.
Let's not make it sound like he's dying like of a disease. Or
yeah, we automatically assume COVID.
Like
that.
He got COVID.
He's had a bad migraine, so he needs to take the day off.
He needs to take
get
the
well.
Day off.
Yeah. Get well.
Get well. We
Smoke
miss
some
you
weed.
Over here.
It's good for your migraines.
It really is.
And we have a special guest in the building, or guests in the building. Black Girl Bravado is in the building.
Yeah. Here.
I listen to you guys often.
Thank you.
Oh, my bad.
I love that.
Got all those buttons over there.
Well, usually JD's hitting them.
Same. Yes.
So who fills in when he's not here?
I guess it has to be me.
You're the one that's supposed to be in control of that
thing anyway.
Second in command.
Yeah. I know.
It's you.
I know.
You're not supposed to be relinquishing the controls to the happy fingers over there.
I know. He hits them a little too often.
Really?
Yes. He hits them a little too often.
And he hits the wrong ones as well.
And he hits the wrong ones.
I love that though.
You gotta label them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that'll be a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been told that often.
Yeah.
So first of all, before we dive into this, I listen to you guys often. I think that what you guys speak about is definitely really important, and the audience that you speak for, it's really important. So we are blessed to have you guys here. I don't think they understand. I mean, I actually been seeing you guys in the comments. Not you guys personally, but people being like, you guys got to bring Black Girl Bravado over here. So,
become highly recommended. So don't mess this up.
That's so funny.
So I was listening to one of your guys' episode, and it was all about trauma bonds in relationships. Mm-hmm. Los, do you know anything about that?
A little bit.
You've been in a trauma bond?
Oh man, I've been.
You probably
I've
been the trauma bond.
You've been the trauma that bonded.
I've been the trauma, and I've been traumatized.
Oh,
so I've been on both sides of the coin.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you guys have like personal experience? Because you guys were really taking a very scientific approach on that episode.
Yeah. But informative.
More information.
Yeah, I like it. Do you guys have you guys personally experienced the trauma bonds?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, not a lot.
Not a lot.
Thank God, not a lot.
Not a lot, but no. Definitely have personally experienced a trauma bond. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, I personally was in a, I hope the nigga, we can say nigga.
Yes.
Oh, person.
Yes, we can.
You can say whatever you want.
We don't have those sponsors yet. So
okay, good. I hope the nigga don't just find this and watch it. Like, she called me a trauma bond. But at the end of the day.
He knows.
He probably does.
Yeah, I definitely have been called out. I'm like, well, don't listen.
Yeah, yeah.
This podcast seems to find its way into.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
They don't
hey, nigga. Whatever.
Hey, we're talking about what you did.
We're talking about you. Now, I was in a long-term relationship. And it wasn't all bad, but it wasn't all good, and it was very cyclical in nature, so a lot of ups and downs, a lot of makeup, breakup. And I think I was so committed and loyal to what I envisioned we could be, right, and the hope of the relationship turning around and being everything that I desired, especially after being with somebody for like 10 years.
Yeah. You got into a trauma bond after a 10-year relationship?
No. The trauma bond is the 10-year relationship. Okay. But I'm saying it's so back and forth. Yeah. It's so cyclical in nature that I was kind of like chained to the relationship.
Oh, of course.
So that was mine. It wasn't anything like I'm being abused or beat, but I think just the nature of like back forth.
Yeah.
Sometimes we love each other a lot. Sometimes we don't. Breaking up, making up.
Yeah.
Hoping that it's going to be better. I was just so loyal to the dynamic that I'm like, this cannot be good for me. But the shackles are off.
Yeah. Yeah.
The shackles are off. Hey. And I'm up out of that.
I too was in a long-term relationship of 7 years, and it was definitely, we were definitely bonded via trauma. Like there was a lot of,
we're opening up some wounds here, guys.
That was a long pause. And
what
a
was it?
I was trying to find the right word, but there was a lot of back and forth for sure. There was a lot of inconsistency. There was a lot of immaturity, a lack of growth, resistance that I just kept pushing against because, like Germany said, I wanted it to work. I felt like we have to make this work after putting in so much time and so much energy and honestly just wanting it to work because I wanted it to. Like, we wanted it to. Well, we said we wanted it to, but there was an effort on both ends to make it work. Yeah. There was actually the opposite. So, I didn't realize I was in the trauma bond until after, and I think it was like an aha moment when we did the episode, and you know, we're doing our research on the topic, and I'm like, how the fuck was I in a trauma bond? How did I end up there?
Well, it's interesting because I find that most of young love is trauma bond. For me, all of my, like, from 20, even like 17 to like 25. Yeah. Were a lot of trauma bonds that I was going into. And then also it was the back and forth. Like that to me is like the number one sign of you're addicted to this person.
Yeah.
Not even for all the right reasons, because I find that when I would break up with them or they would break up with me, I would only think about the good. I would never think about like the shitty stuff that I went through with this person. So when you break up, you'd be like, yes, that feels good. And then a day later, you're like, dang, man, she knows how to, you know, do this or do that. And and then I get into a situation where I set up hitting them up, you know, and it's comfortable.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. And it's like ecstasy. I always like say that ecstasy to me is agony and joy. And that's ecstasy. And so I don't know. I mean, what about you, Lois? How you feel about trauma bonds? You like them a little bit, huh?
No.
The fuck?
The toxicity.
Like them?
I don't know.
You think I like them?
From other things on the podcast that you said, like, you know, sometimes toxic is fun.
Oh, I mean, well, yeah. A little bit maybe. I don't know. Not now. It was when I was younger, I think I enjoyed it more. It was more fun then. But I didn't find myself getting a lot of trauma bonds in my youth.
Oh, really?
Like in my 20s. Yeah, nah, like 20s, I was just, it was more fun. Like I wasn't attached. So it was, with the exception of old girl whose door I was beating down at 3 in the morning.
Okay. Yeah. The rest mania of them, love.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, outside of that, nah, not really. I got, all my trauma bonds happened when I got older as I tried to actually pursue legit relationships.
Interesting.
Because when I was younger, I wasn't trying to tie anything down. So I was, you know, there was no bond to traumatize.
Do you think,
maybe you were their trauma bond?
I was just about to ask that.
That's when I was for sure a few people's trauma bonds.
Yeah.
And I might still.
They still bonded, dragging on the floor.
I might still be every now and then.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is it okay? Or no? Am I enabling him?
It's not okay. It's not okay.
Well, here's the thing I'll say. It's not, maybe it's not a trauma bond, but it's
trauma fun.
It's like, at this point, it's not because I mislead or anything like that.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying. But there will still be a bond. So it's not so much trauma, I guess. It's just attachment. I don't know what the word is.
Attachment.
I don't know what the word is. But
so
yeah,
back in the day, you were manipulative.
Yes, for sure. Back in the day, it was me playing games.
Yeah. Narcissistic.
You know, yeah, did you 100%. Feel like you were breadcrumbing? Like you'll give a little to keep them hooked? And then once they're drawn in, you kind of pull back. It's not ever, you weren't ever fully giving yourself.
That's probably kind of a part of the course for my behavior.
Like, I definitely
was,
did that.
That was definitely like the move back then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would, and the breadcrumbs would get bigger as like the bond got weaker.
So like, then it was a loaf. It wasn't a crumb. Yeah, it was a bread loaf.
Like, hey, actually, you know what? Look at this.
Get this
like,
piece of bread.
Look at this whole bakery I got for you. So yeah. Like, no, like you would definitely see an increase in the manipulation and the general fuckboyishness. Yeah. Like as I could tell, like, okay, she's
falling.
She's wisening up to my shit.
Yeah.
Let me do some bullshit real quick. And yeah. Like, yeah.
And you know what, ladies, see, the ladies that are listening, that's why we have to really be tapped in, because we be tripping. Yeah. The way that men sometimes can like give you a little and then pull back, it makes you feel like you're crazy, mm-hmm. and it makes it hard to read the situation. And y'all be doing this stuff intentionally.
Yeah, yeah. Why? Come on. You know what it was so for me?
For me, it was like this. It was like, I always say, you know, I hear a lot of times, like, why are fuckboys not honest? Why they tell me they want me, they want all these things, and they want me in that moment. And I'm like, I don't know if he's not honest. Mm. Yeah. I think he's very in the moment. And so when he's with you,
yeah.
he's all in.
Yeah.
He's in there. Like, yeah. This is actually what I want to be with. This is who I want to be with. This is what I want to do. I love you.
And then you Let's come. Just.
No, not even that. Not even that. After you leave.
And then I come. And I'm like, actually, you know what? Yeah.
But no, what happens is when you leave, then you start having more options. People start hitting you up. Yeah. Then you start having doubts. And you're like, but then and the fear of missing out on somebody else is what really makes them sway. So I always say, like, the beginnings of a fuckboy, it starts in, like, middle school.
Oh, that God. Young. Oh,
but let me tell you why. I have a whole theory.
Please.
I have a whole theory.
Jared, you probably started in middle school.
I did. And I'll tell you why. Because all here's right. the thing. So in my household, I was not allowed to date. It was like a no go. Don't date. Relationships usually equals baby to my dad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when I got into middle school, it was right when I hit puberty. I started, you know, feeling myself a little bit more. So I got a lot of attention.
Literally and figuratively.
yes, that too.
Yes.
So I got a lot of attention from women. And it was new. Yeah. And you're able to have pick of who you want to be with. And it just is like a flowing thing. And it starts that Netflix syndrome early. Because then you don't know which one to pick. You don't know which one to get involved with. And then you develop a habit of starting new relationships all the time with different women. So it's like, and then when you're with that person, as you get older, let's say you get into a serious relationship in high school. And when you're with her, you're there and you're all about it. But then when you leave and you start getting attention from other places, and in my high school, I don't know about with you, but when I was in high school, we had easy access. There was social media. What's popping, everybody? It's Los and I. We are popping in to give a shout out of the sponsor of this podcast that you are watching right now, Warby Parker. They are committed to giving you exceptional vision care. They give everything from eyeglasses, sunglasses, eye exams, and contact lenses, baby. You all know you need to see.
Online and in store.
Online and in store.
It's a commitment to excellence.
It's a commitment to excellence, including prescription lenses, sunglasses, progressive, and blue light lenses are available.
They got them all.
They got them all.
Sheesh.
Everything.
Get this. They start at $95.
$95?
$95.
$95.
You can't beat that with a stick.
You can't beat that with a bat.
No, you can't. That's true. You can't.
Yo, I picked out all my glasses in like one swoop.
Yeah, no, it was easy.
It was so easy.
Well, so you take the quiz.
The quiz
kind of gets an idea of your style, what you like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What will look good on your face.
Yes.
You know?
That is
they
huge.
Even have a little feature that you can do a try on with your phone.
With the visuals.
With the visuals, yeah.
It'll
before you even get the glasses, before you get the free home try on.
Yeah.
You can digitally try the glasses on right there in the comfort of your home. So that way you know which ones that you should pick for your five to come home and try on in real life. IRL.
Yes, and then they come in, and I'm able to try them on, show them off to the wifey, because she has a definitely...
She's going to let you know what she thinks.
She's going to let me know.
Yeah, she's going to tell you if you look good or if you look foolish.
So that's the benefit. You don't have to commit.
Or you can ask your friends.
Or you can ask your homies.
You look good.
You look great.
Thanks.
I like your glasses.
I like yours.
I like your choices.
You look smart.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And you know what? Another thing. They don't just look good. they feel good too. Yeah. I mean, these feel like some, this is quality.
Yes.
It's not just, I'm not going to sit on it and break it this, you know, 5 seconds after I take it out of the box.
And you are a critic when it comes to quality.
So try out Warby Parker's free 5-day home trial. You get 5 pairs of glasses, a tryout for free for 5 days. It is completely free.
Free.
When we say they're not going to charge you a penny to try these glasses, they're not going to charge you a penny.
Not at all.
5 pairs of glasses to try out. 5 days to figure out what you like, what you don't like. And then you know what? After those days are over, you put it back in the box with the prepaid shipping label. You're not coming out of pocket at all for this experience. All you're doing is experiencing quality glasses in the comfort of your own home.
Exactly. So try 5 pairs of glasses right now. Just visit warbyparker.com/enjoy. And enjoy some glasses.
Enjoy some Warby Parkers. That's right.
Exactly.
Enjoy looking good.
Now let's get back to the podcast.
Let's go.
So it was just
MySpace.
We barely had MySpace.
I'll say we had MySpace.
MySpace came so late for me, though. Yeah. Like, personally, it didn't come to like 11th, 12th grade. It was like towards the tail end of.
Really?
Yeah. But as soon as it came, I was on it, baby.
I mean, but we weren't even using MySpace, not to like steer away from your story, but we weren't even using MySpace to the way these kids are using social media now.
No, it's dangerous now.
Yeah, exactly.
You had it good.
School down the street, I know exactly what talent is over there. And that is the problem. You know what I mean? And so, not to take blame off of someone who has no self-discipline, but I think that
as a high schooler, how much self-discipline are you?
Yeah,
truly
it creates
have
that habit. It creates that habit,
and it opens you up to all these other options that you didn't once have before.
Yeah.
Usually, it's like I go to school with these women. I see these women, these young girls. I go to this high school. I see the same girls.
This is all.
And
I have.
When you're a person like your experience, who was like probably good looking, maybe popular. You already know. You're not about to be with the regular girl over there. You're going to be like hooking up with one of the popular girls or another girl who looks cute. So your options are condensed to just your school. Yeah. But once social media comes and it's like,
now you have
other girl at the other school, and I see the homies and at football games and this and that. So it's way different.
It gets bad.
Lucky you, man. They want to put me on a shelf. That's all they want to do.
What? Put you on a shelf?
I was probably like,
really?
Man, I was probably like five, six.
Damn, you sprouted.
That's kind of common, though, junior, I feel like in high school.
The summer of my junior year is like when I was ready.
You came back to school and they were probably like,
well, no,
hey,
I moved at that point. I left my high school, 10th grade, and I went to, so I like showed up like tall. But in my head, I was still like short and shit. So I hadn't caught up. Yeah,
I hadn't caught up. Like as soon as I got the height, I would be like,
huh? Yeah. That's interesting.
I was all elbows and knees. I didn't know what to do with my height.
The
terrible.
Knucking and bucking.
So how did you go into your fuckboy stage?
How did you?
I think it was somewhere in my mid-20s.
Okay.
Because I started just like
getting mass attention. It.
Like just, and I wasn't trying and I was confused. Like, why? What the fuck? So I was like, well, if it's here.
Yeah.
And then as that happened, ego started kicking. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I got the juice.
I got it. And then it
damn,
was, you know,
see, ladies. What
that's
we
what it be. Did you get a beard when you were in your 20s?
This beard.
It be the beard.
I think it might have been.
See?
I think
a beard does something to a man. It's like, hold on.
It adds some.
I got a little gap right here, too.
As long as you got a little something, we don't give a damn. We like, he got something.
Have you guys ever entered a fuck girl stage? No, huh? You guys were just great girlfriends.
Just good, wholesome women.
I'm pretty wholesome. Now, I've done some slight entertaining, but for the most part, I'm a great girlfriend.
Yeah.
Hey, talk your shit. I'm a great girlfriend. Yeah. I've never been a fuck girl. No, I can't put that stamp on me.
Mm.
There's the stamp. No, same. I'm very, like,
I'm loyal as hell.
Selected.
Oh, you had the 10-year relationship.
Period. That tells you the type of bitch I am.
Yeah.
I get in and I'll be like, we're here.
Yeah. I'm selective.
I'm a stick beside him.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
me.
I mean, mine. I'm a stick beside him.
That'd be me. But I've had my, like, experiences where, like, I've entertained. I've done a little, like, talking on the side, but it's never really, like, turned into something where I'm like having sex with multiple people, going out on dates. I don't do that. No.
And not to make excuses, but the reason why I've slightly dabbled in fuck girlness is because
the nigga wasn't doing what he was supposed to
do. I'm like, if you want to fuck around, we can fuck around.
Let's put it back on him.
Let's put it back
so
on him.
Dealing with somebody who wasn't taking you serious, and I know we're kind of taking off from trauma bonds, but this is an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. I want to go into this. Mm-hmm. dealing with somebody who was not good to you, played with you, did that affect you going into other relationships? Like, you're in a new relationship from the 10-year one.
Yeah.
Did that affect your relationship now?
No, you know what affects my relationship now? And it doesn't affect my relationship, but it affects me, is my anxious attachment style, right? So it's not anything that anybody has necessarily done. It's things that, like, happened before that 10-year relationship. Yeah. Mm. My dad died when I was, like, 9 months old.
Oh.
And even we had an episode where we spoke with, like, a trauma specialist, and she, like, broke down attachment styles and love addiction. Actually, it was love addiction. And we started talking about attachment styles, and it brought into my awareness that sometimes you have abandonment issues, whether it's involuntary or voluntary, rather the person goes and it was like, I'm out of here, or like a death or something happens, because you have to then mourn the memories that weren't had. You know, you're grieving just so many things. So I feel like not having a father growing up, or my biological father, rather, growing up, has definitely created attachment issues, and I have a very anxious attachment style, and that is what I'm always working to, like, heal in myself and in my relationship, because I find myself being like, this is the best partner I've ever had. I don't want him to go anywhere. And I'm like, latched on to him. I'm like, please don't leave me, you know? So I'm working on that, but not the nigga before.
Yeah.
I'm like, bye.
And last time we spoke, I don't know, when I was on your guys' podcast, you had somebody that you, are you still with him?
Yeah. Now we are. We weren't then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So I wasn't supposed to say that, huh?
No. Yeah. It's not a secret.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay,
they were dating before.
Now it's official.
Now it's official.
Mm-hmm.
So stamped. Dealing with.
Stamped it.
There you go. All right.
Dealing with other, lack of better term, fuckboys. Did that affect the way that you treat this man here?
I don't think the person specifically. I think also because of my abandonment issues, I just have trust issues with men in general. I wouldn't make it specific to
your experience with
my
somebody
ex
else.
Because I think that everybody's different. Mm-hmm. So I don't like to just categorize it as all men from that relationship. But I think my first relationship with the man, which was my father, who created my abandonment issues because he didn't die, but he wasn't present in my life from 5 until we just started forming a relationship the 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the abandonment issues are real. Like, and it's something that has just been brought to my awareness as well, that I recognize is something that I really need to heal, because I don't trust men like that. Because the first men who were supposed to be present and show up and show me an example of what I deserve from a man was not there. Mm. So... It's been tough.
And I think I would have different experience if I was really dogged out.
Yeah.
Like, I was never really, like, dogged.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've never been dragged through the mud. There's definitely been things that could have been better, but I've never been completely.
You have better choices. Right. You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, it wasn't just grabbed by the booty hole and just dragged. You know, something crazy.
Damn. Yeah, like, you had a baby on me.
I typically would say pussy lips. I've never been just pulled by the lips. Yeah.
All right.
Some painful experience.
So attachment styles. I think I heard that you guys were about to do a book club on that, right?
Or we did our book club.
Dang, Jerry, you really are tapped out.
Yeah, we did our book club. We read the book.
Yeah. How do you feel about that book?
I love the book.
Yeah.
What was the book?
Attachment.
Attached. It's called Attached, and it talks about
things by, like, Adam Levine.
Did you see what come out about him?
No, not Adam Levine.
What?
No, that's the singer.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Adam L.
We'll circle back.
Adam L.
They'll put it in their show notes.
He's an old white guy.
I was like, what the fuck?
They'll put it in their show notes.
Did you see what came out about him?
No, what?
Oh, God.
We should have been reading the book.
Did he get canceled? Did he get canceled?
No, he's an old white man.
He's fucking racist.
So we can't.
Yes, we can.
We can't not hold him accountable, but we can't be like, it doesn't change what the book is great. The book is great.
Yeah.
But he's not necessarily racist, but he is a homophobe.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, he's like very against gay marriage and all that.
How you gonna write a book about attachment styles and hate gay people?
He was probably like,
heteronormative. Not that that's really a connection, I guess, but.
Yeah.
He's old and white, and so I saw a lot of people being like, man, we can't have nothing.
I know. But we're allies.
He's probably gay.
You think he's struggling?
He's probably closeted gay.
Probably. What's your attachment style, Los? We done totally said, fuck the trauma bonds.
I know. Yeah. I know. We'll get
but
back.
So, yeah, we'll get better come back around. We'll U-turn.
Damn, what was mine? I forgot it. Didn't we go over this? We discussed
I think
this.
You were avoiding. Avoiding. Because I listened to the episode. Yes,
I can see.
You were avoiding. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are you guys? Oh, you said avoiding.
Anxious. I'm anxious.
Anxiously anxious. Attached.
Anxious as hell.
I have a touch of anxious in there. Like a dash.
Anxious
small
avoidant.
Dash.
Anxious avoidant then.
And then it gets real avoidant.
Yeah. I can go back and forth too, but that's the thing with attachment styles. You don't have to stay one attachment
style. Yeah,
it's
like a mosaic. Mm-hmm.
It's like an ebb and flow. And sometimes I'm avoiding like, and then sometimes I'm anxious like, get the fuck over here and stay here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the person for me. I find that a lot of my relationships, I was securely attached, but some of them I was avoidant. And when I think about the times when I was avoidant, every time that I was trying to get out of that relationship, it was because I didn't think that I could hold that down. Mm. It was probably somebody either out of my league or I felt like was going to leave me.
Mm. Oh,
and
wow.
So I would be avoidant to that. But if I was with somebody that I felt we were either equal or, no offense,
she was
lower.
Yeah.
I would be securely attached. Yeah.
Huh. That makes sense.
I think that's same with me.
Same with you?
Yeah. Whenever it turned avoidant. Actually, and that's the thing too. I would always start anxious and I turn avoidant. Right? Like
once you get what you want.
Not necessarily even once I get what I want. Just like once it could be just the attention. Like maybe I just get more attention than I was anticipating and then
she likes you more than you thought.
Yeah.
See,
and ladies, that here's another thing, ladies. Yeah. That's why these men have to like you more than you like them.
Okay, so what you just said right there,
it's probably
I would argue
it's very true.
It's probably a little
it is true. Very true. That would probably be the most happiest relationship, but I fear that long term you would get bored.
It has
Who
to be,
would get bored?
No, it has to be close. It has to be like a little 6 or 40.
Yeah, it can't be a full gap. Like I don't like you at all.
But even if like let's say he's all about you, hand and feet, you know. Just there worshiping you.
Yep.
After
I'm waiting on the bad part.
Like, where does this get
after a while, I think that you guys would lose a little bit of spark.
No.
Spark will be lost.
And maybe I'm comparing it as a guy.
Okay, maybe.
Because like
maybe
I would lose interest if someone was just head over heels for me.
Yeah.
But that's why the woman cannot be head over heels for the man.
Okay,
because
facts.
Honestly,
maybe you're right.
Our nature as women, we are nurturers. We love so hard. We want to give, and we'll continue to give when there's nothing left to give.
Yeah.
So I think for there to be a healthy balance and for the man to continuously show up for the woman, he needs to adore her more.
Yeah.
Or at least that's how it needs to appear. She could really be feeling him, but... Yeah. There needs to be a lot of adoration, a desire to protect her, a desire to make her feel secure, a desire to provide for her, where he wants to show up in that way.
Yeah.
And then it works.
These are
I
facts.
Agree.
I can't even argue that.
I don't think it can. I think long term it does have to shift more closely to 50-50.
Yeah.
I know for me it would have to
I think
eventually.
50-50
It can't. It can't stay at a place where I feel like I'm always doing more or like I feel like... Like you don't like me as much as I like you. Eventually, it has to start to even out.
Here we go, Germany.
Wait, Germany, what is that?
You may, maybe for some guys that'll work. That might work
everyone's
for some
men. Different.
But I think what I'm saying, I think I'm speaking more like emotionally present, not necessarily that you're doing, like the act of doing, like making it a verb so much. Like you, when you say, I can't feel like I'm doing more.
Well, that I mean, that doesn't necessarily have to be physically doing more. It can be emotionally just... I can't feel like I'm putting more into the relationship.
That's why it needs to be a healthy balance. I'm saying like a 60-40. When I'm saying like, I just can't be doing more than you. And that's what women do.
Well, no,
we do more than
you. I think it needs to be 50-50 eventually. I think to get the man, you're probably right. Like you need to show a little bit less interest in what he's showing in you. I think that's just good gamesmanship.
That's a Fendi fact because you just like you guys said, it's a Fendi fact because a lot of times with the men, Because you guys have a lot of options. Not saying we don't have options either, but you guys are more prone.
You guys have literally more.
You guys and also are more prone to act on the options.
Than you guys would. I think you guys actually have more options.
I'm a stick beside them.
This is the difference. Women have easier access to their options.
Okay,
than what
maybe
we
that's
have.
What it is. Maybe
we may have a lot of options, but are they actually feasible options
available? Women going to allow you to be the
tap in? There may be more women on the market for men, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of cars. Can you afford all of them?
Not to
compare women to cars. I know that's coming.
Yeah, you get the trouble.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas women. There may be, I mean, there could be way more men, which there aren't. I'm pretty sure, like, there's more.
Well, there's more men who are willing to enter, like, to go for a woman, even if they're in a relationship. So, when I say options, I just say, like, there is more men probably throwing it at women than there is women throwing it at men.
Yeah, definitely.
Women just are way more choosy.
They're just more like, they're not affected by it. They get it their whole life. They're just like, whatever.
Yeah, you're at the gas station. What's
what
up, little mama?
Do?
Yes, exactly.
What can you do?
What have you done lately?
Hey,
and the thing is, and just to go back to what Los was saying, I think when you get a man to really show up for you, that's the difference for me, because men will just kind of coast in the relationship. You know, like, I show up, I call.
We do as much as we have to.
Exactly. Yeah, but once you get someone who desires to show up, that's particularly what I'm speaking about.
What happens if he's the nice guy?
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
What happens?
The nice guy.
Let me ask you this real quick. Pin you real quick, but. Let's say that he does show up. At that point, are you switching? Are you going to, you still feel the need to hold back, so to speak?
No.
To not
no,
show
if you're showing up for me,
level?
I'm showing up for you.
I give 100%. It's reciprocal. I just need you to feel like you're giving 100%. And when men show up and give 100%, it's going to feel like 100%. Mm-hmm. If I show up and do what I do, you're going to feel like any other woman who's shown up and do what they do, because that's how we do.
So at that point, you'll feel 50-50.
But I just need, you know.
But I think what's most important outside of the giving and showing up in order to help create the balance is for a woman to not completely dive in and shape-shift because we'll put our interests to the side, put our friends to the side, completely conform, do everything that the man wants to do and never consider your hobbies, your interests, your goals. None of that. So it's not just acting like you don't like the guy, but just making sure that you still nurture yourself, your
friendships.
You
have your boundaries.
Yeah. Maintain independence.
I would say the danger zone for when a guy shows up 100%, it's usually cloaked.
What the hell?
Yes.
What is
the quote? Bring that over
I'm
here.
I'm just throwing it out there on the table. I just, you know, just for all these perspectives, because I know for me, that's what I would do when I was trying to play somebody.
What?
Yes.
Why are you doing that?
Before everyone kills me, I just want to, you know, there is gentlemen that are like that. I know our other panelist, JD, who's not here.
I agree with you, but I would argue that that's not showing up, though. Like, that's just manipulation, right?
Because
I have friends of mine who, when they do 100% towards a woman, like that's it. Like, they're not, it's not manipulative.
Yeah, I think we're speaking about like committed relationships, not just dating and you being shitty.
I know.
You just want to.
I know. I'm just putting it out there that yes, I would show up 100%, but I wouldn't be 100% about her.
I think a good way to assess that is how are they showing up?
You.
How are they showing?
I just put it out there. I just gotta let it know.
How are they showing up for the other women in their life as well? Because that's a that's a good indicator on if it's just faking a fraud.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like, if you're treating all the other women in your life like shit, talking about even other women like these bitches, these hoes, and then you're just showing up for me or being so kind to me. That's an indicator that you're fraud.
Yes. You got to look at the friends. And I said that in the episode about the nice guy, was that how you'll be able to tell the difference between a nice guy and a bad nice guy.
Yeah.
A genuine.
A fake nice guy is the real nice guy is going to still challenge you. He's still going to make sure you grow as a human. The fake nice guy is just going to show up, give you everything you want to know, let you everything you want to hear, wait on you hand and foot, be there when you need them,
yeah,
go all in, be it, like, just giving you all this love, molding to what your ideas of a man is, listening to you, getting in there and all the crevices.
The crevices.
Cracking your back like a glow stick.
The whole list that he just ran down.
And just if making sure that you feel. And then here's the terrible thing about the nice guy is he's going to show up when you just got out of a relationship with a fuckboy. He's going to show up when you just got treated dirt, you know, treated badly. He's going to be like, oh, snap.
I think they're showing up all the time. That's just when you're more susceptible.
Yeah, of course, of course, of course.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you're
yeah.
always getting bombarded by yeah. it. But that's when you're going to fall for the bullshit is when you yes. press off something. And
you're like, man, this guy's so nice.
You're doubting
yeah.
yourself.
This is my people.
Yeah. yeah.
This is
yeah.
my person.
My person. Yeah. to say that.
Yes.
My person.
So he's going to do the social media stalk, fill out what music you like. Be like,
that
oh,
happened
we like
to somebody.
Same
okay,
that is tacky though. That's different. That's manipulative. So I guess honestly, the best way that we can like bring the conversation around, you're talking about a nice guy who's in a dating situation who's likely manipulative.
Yes.
Do you feel like you were giving 100% before to your relationship with your wife before she became your wife, and you decided, yes, we're gonna get married?
I wasn't. No, we were fuck buddies.
No. We're past
that.
We're
started
past
fuck buddies.
Okay, what
but once
what
you
point?
Decided you guys were no longer fuck buddies.
And we're in this. You were showing up.
Yeah, I was showing up, but there was still a thought of, I need you and I to work so hard to earn each other every day. Hmm. So it was more, we both kind of played a game in love. Like we all in the last relationship, I mean, the last podcast that we did, we talked about love mm-hmm. and the different types of love. Mm-hmm. And there was pragma and there was ludus. Mm-hmm. And we stayed in those two heavily. Even to this day, we're a little bit of all of them now. But even to this day, the thing that holds our relationship together is ludus, which is playful love. Mm-hmm. You know, that game playing, that like strategic, I'm going to do this so that you fall more deeply in love with me. It is manipulative,
mm-hmm, yeah.
But it's not negative manipulative.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then also on top of that, we were heavy in pragma, which is practical, which is you have the same values. We like the same things. It's not like Eros where it's super passionate.
Yeah, I'm not
so
there. I be in the pragma, man. The yeah. two going down. You're going crazy.
So I think that I showed up for her when she needed it. Hmm. I wasn't like all in yeah. just, you know, being the nice guy, so to speak. Hmm. And I think that if I was, because when she was dealing with me, she was dealing with other gentlemen as well, mm-hmm. who were showing up 100%.
Oh, you would have been smoked.
I would have been smoked.
Yeah.
And that's not what Shan wants out of a relationship. She
wants
doesn't,
a little bit of a chase.
She wants someone to come in as her equal.
Yeah.
She doesn't want someone to come in like
the challenge.
Like not to say that you're praising, you know, we all need to praise our wives, but yeah. she doesn't want somebody to come in like you're this heavy, like all the way up there. She wants to yeah. know that she's with the king as well.
Yeah, the equally yoked. Yeah. So, that's what we're all desiring.
Yeah, no, of course.
The equally yoked.
Yeah, not the just I'm happy, just happy to be
yeah.
here.
No.
So I just think like for Shan, it was just a little bit different strategically on how to get her. Mm. Rather than showing up 100% because that wasn't high on her list.
Mm. It's on mine.
Mm. And it should be. We both, like, one thing that Shannon and I are really trying to come to terms with is that, like, our style of love is not relatable. and it's one of those...
conventional.
It's not conventional. And yeah. it's one of those things where I wouldn't, like... If Los was dating somebody, I wouldn't be like, this is what you got to do, X, Y, and
yeah.
Z. This is what
yeah.
I did.
Very
because
unique
it probably
to you guys.
Wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Because all my other relationships didn't work.
Yeah.
So that's signs right there that if I can't have the same approach
right,
to,
yeah,
to,
right,
to
right.
everything.
Makes sense. Los.
Los loves it. That's why I don't be listening to you.
But I think I think there is something to be said about somebody who shows up hand and foot. I want to give you that. I don't want you to think that I'm going against you right now.
No, I don't think yeah. you are. I'm just saying for me personally, I've never been in a relationship, and I can only compare it to my current relationship where somebody, I feel like I'm in a partnership. I think
yeah.
that's the difference.
Yeah.
And I've never been in a partnership where I feel like, wow, this person cares about my well-being, right? They are going above and beyond to do the things that I need them to do, who like loves me the way that I need to be loved. And I feel like we're always attacking each day together. Mm. That's the difference. Yeah. So that's what I mean personally when I'm saying like shows up.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like, babe, can you wash my feet?
Yeah.
But it's just
which is nice sometimes. Sometimes you gotta
sometimes
wash
it is, yeah. But that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just saying like in my previous relationship, I don't know if it's because we had been together so long. It was a little jaded. We were young and then tried to mature. Yeah. It was childish. There were so many elements that made this relationship so much different.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I need you to show up this way.
Yeah.
You know?
How important for either of you two, how important is it to not let love take away your individuality?
Mm. It's extremely important for me.
Yeah.
I'm very autonomous. I'm very independent. There's things, a relationship will never be my whole life. Mm. Like, I'm very multifaceted, and there's other relationships that are equally important to me, and I just feel like if I was completely engulfed in a relationship, I would be miserable.
Yeah.
There's just so much that I want to do, that I have to do, that's not...
Including the relationship.
Including the relationship, and so I need someone who definitely understands that I'm going to be out and about doing things that don't involve you sometimes. Mm-hmm.
What about you? You seem like you're thinking.
It's important for me.
Over there,
It's important to me, but I've struggled with like autonomy for a long time because I'm so heavily invested in relationships. It's not just my romantic one, but like my friendships. Just everything. I draw really closely to people. Mm. So I have to remember like, you can do this by yourself. You can do some things by yourself, and it's okay to like withdraw a little bit. And my current relationship teaches me that, you know, because he's very autonomous. I'm like, where are you going? I be saying that. Where are you going? And he's like, I got to go do this. I got to do this. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm learning it. I'm learning it. And I think it's a very healthy lesson. But yeah.
Yeah, I find
me,
that
I'm attached. I'm like, get on.
She can be there day and night. We're rising and we're falling.
Yes, day and night. You already know how I'm rocking.
Attached at the hip. Yeah.
I used to get into relationships and be like fully engulfed in it.
Because you're a Libra.
And what ended up happening. But this is the thing that sucked is like, you when you're in it, you're it's awesome. When it ends, I feel a loss of self. I feel like I don't have any individuality. I didn't have my own hobbies. I didn't have my own friends. I didn't have my own stuff. And so I felt like I lost me when the relationship was over. And I think it's so important for people to maintain their individuality in a relationship, because what ends up happening is if you don't, you guys are going to be growing as one, which I know the Bible speaks that and you should, but what I'm saying is that if you grow as individuals, you guys can grow together in life.
Yes.
And
yes.
So growing as one, if you guys last forever, is amazing. It's I'm sure it's not no issues there, but if you guys do end, it's a heavy load to get over somebody that way.
Yeah. But at least you grew.
But at least you grew. With
no,
together?
No, it's just self because you grew as one. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, I think it just adds another dynamic to the relationship. Like, if it's only us together, we already know what we did today. We already know everything that happened in each other's lives. But if you have experiences separate from each other, we can talk about, like, different perspectives. And you ain't taking everything from me if you leave. You're taking my friends? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, no. I need something outside of you.
Yeah,
you can't take it all.
Yeah.
I need it.
I think that's probably why I've been single as much as I have been, is because I have too much autonomy.
Mm.
I'm good by myself. I have no issues doing whatever I want to do, whatever I need to do without you and not checking in, you know, all day. And
okay, the lack of checking.
Yeah, that ain't going
to
work.
You don't have to check in all day, every day, but where were you?
Yeah. You know come on,
like,
Los.
Like once, like, you know, maybe one, like, hey, I got to go down here. I'm doing this. Like, down you here. Know that. But I'm not, like, I'm not that guy that's going to text you every hour. I'm not that guy that's gonna be like, hey, did you eat already? Like, I'm not.
We really love that. Ask that I
you hungry.
You know, like, for the most part, I mean, at that point, that's I know for sure. Now I'm a little bit more aware.
You
know,
I was gonna say, you text me before you come. Do you want anything from Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, no, like, at this point, I'm more, you know, aware. Mindful. Way more mindful. But, for sure, when I was younger and even
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Man, up until probably 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it was very much just like, I'm cool. Like, yeah, it doesn't bother me. So I would say, like, yeah, too much autonomy has been my downfall at times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you're leaning in. You're leaning
in
to be more.
I got not even the toe. Now I got like the up to my like calf muscle in.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's good.
I'm up to about right there. Like right under the knee. Right under the knee.
Is that something you desire though? Like partnership?
Yes. The older I get, the more I do. Yeah,
that's good to acknowledge.
Yeah. I think it's necessary.
Yeah. And it's
so whatever degree you find, like you define partnership.
That's what I'm figuring out now, because it's really a recent like revelation. Like, it wasn't something even I'd say a year ago that was in my, you know, in my mind. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a recent thing. And then really, like, true to what you said, figuring out the level of partnership that I want. And, you know, that's kind of like where I'm at right now. So
I love it.
Do you guys believe in marriage?
I do.
Hell yeah.
I need a ring.
Period. Ring finger with a rock is. Yeah.
You believe in marriage? Though?
I mean, I don't know if I'm, I don't know why I believe in it. I just, oh, I
you
just,
believe in it
I
though.
I just believe in it, yeah. But I don't like, there's no, I don't have like a personal attachment. Like, oh, I need to be married. Like, I think I'm kind of just brainwashed into believing in it.
Interesting.
Because I'm not really convicted in it. Like, I don't necessarily think it's something that you have to do. I know people who aren't married, you know. So I know at least 4 or 5 gay male, you know, men that are in partnerships that they're not, you know, they're not married because they couldn't be married.
Yeah.
And so, but they've been together for,
and they're just like
20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. So like, I know and accept that it's not a necessity, but I guess I believe in it more so because of the benefits that it brings a couple. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I actually, I'm not really convicted in it.
Why do you guys like to want to get married?
Marriage for me provides just security.
Security, yeah.
Yeah.
I totally understand what you're saying, like the optics of marriage.
Yeah.
I think it says something completely. I think like having a ring and being in a marriage says like, okay, we have a really strong bond. Mm. That we want the world to know exists. And I don't come from a family of people getting married.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, my grandparents, they've been together for 65, 70 years. Oh. But
who?
My nana and my grandpa.
Oh, they were married for 60 years?
They actually were.
Wow, that's
they've
out.
Gone on to glory. They've, yeah, they've died. They've died on. Now, right? Yeah. But like, my mom's been married hella time. I haven't seen many lasting marriages around me.
Neither have I.
Yes, I think you have.
Do you think that's essential in order to have a successful marriage?
Well, the thing is, I haven't seen relationships work that aren't. It's not even a matter of like it works and they aren't married. It's like nigga, nothing.
It's either they're married or
they're married or they're not. So I think it's extremely important to me personally because I just want to. I want somebody to say I love you this much.
Yeah.
Especially because we put all the power on the man to decide. Yeah. All right.
It's definitely like you're being chosen. It's definitely like I've chosen you.
Yes. So it might might be something about self-esteem or
an ego for sure.
Ego.
No, but I like what you said about just the optics of it, the public display.
Yeah.
Like,
it's definitely public because we can be together for 30 years and I'm going to be looking at you like, bruh.
What's the deal? I think that marriage is important. Mm. I think that it's very important for a number of reasons. One, taxes. Mm-hmm. the other thing is obviously optics. It is like a literal representation of how I feel about somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we're gonna submit this, and it's not really submit, but we're gonna submit this bond and display it to everybody of I'm with this person with the intention of life.
Yeah.
And so it is a, when you go into social encounters and you say, this is my wife rather than this is my girlfriend, the interaction with somebody is not explained anymore. Mm-hmm. You already know what she means to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's no explaining need to be done.
Yeah.
And then the other benefit is, When you get into a marriage, I find that most people get into them, and I don't want to say most people, but I've seen a lot of people in my family, and the reason why they don't end well is they propose to fix the relationship. Mm. They propose to, because they got kids or whatever it may be, they are trying to take the relationship to the next level to help fix it, right?
Yeah.
But it's like marriage is not
a Band-Aid.
It's not a Band-Aid, and it's not a thing. Like, you would never take that logic into anything else.
Yeah.
If we're playing football and I'm in college and I don't qualify to make it to the NFL, I don't go, well, I'm going to go to the NFL just to make sure I get better. You know what I mean? Actually, that's a bad that was a bad example.
No, but you know
what I got what you were saying.
We got it. We knew where you were headed.
Don't, like, you don't progress things when you haven't earned it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so a lot of people were like, is your relationship changed now that you're in a marriage? Like, no, it's the exact same thing.
Because you didn't do a shotgun just to try to fix something.
No, there was nothing different. Yeah. When we got done being married, it was like, nothing changed other than socially. That was the only thing that changed. And when telemarketers call, I'm like, hey, I'm talking for my wife.
Then they different.
Yeah. Call me your wife.
That is different. I'm telling
Call me your wife.
Yeah. Just even you speaking about not trying to change your dynamic or try to fix it in that long-term relationship that I was in, the trauma bond.
That's what it would have been, huh?
Yeah. Like towards the end, after I was like, yeah, I'm kind of done. It was like, we could get back together. We could get married. And I have been already speaking about marriage for so long. I'm like, we need to be married. We need to be like moving forward. And then all of a sudden you want to bring up marriage to try to fix the relationship. Like, we could do this next year. Like, let's just get married. Yeah. I want to
just get married.
That's the same thing. Yeah, it's like, let's do it.
Now it's like, you realize that I'm gone.
Yeah, let's get married. We're supposed to be like, I don't even want to be married to you anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stop.
If you're pulling that out as the card, like,
if you're pulling that out,
too late.
It's ridiculous. And that's a clear indicator of the trauma bond. Like, you feel like, oh, we just have to do this, we have to make it work. Like, even with my ex, he's
reaching out.
Yes,
trying to get married.
Not trying to get married.
Yo, you gotta say just get married, bro.
Yeah, you gotta get
married.
That's
the key. Just get married.
Well,
when he reaches out, does he know you got a man?
He don't give a damn. He has a woman.
Oh,
now that's tea. The tea has been spilled.
Well, hey, it's his fault. He's the one who did it.
It's pretty ridiculous. And that's how I know it's for trauma. It's for trauma because there's no reason to still be contacting me other than trauma, a trauma bond existing.
What does he say? What's his go-to lines?
All that time. We know each other so well. I can't see myself with anybody else. I'm like, you've seen yourself. You're seeing yourself. Like,
you're there.
You're there. Like, what the fuck? Like, what is cleaning the mirror? Yeah. Like, leave me alone.
Does it kind of boost your ego a little bit? Like, you know.
I'm not going to lie. It does.
You know, it does.
But I think it boosts my
ego.
Yeah, it's that's toxic, but
I know. I'm sorry. That's not a healthy boost.
It's not a healthy boost, but we're human.
I would be thinking it.
No, you don't have to apologize. We're human. It always feels good when somebody strokes your ego, lets you know that you want them, that your desire. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Rather than it's sick or not.
Yeah.
I mean, a boost is kind of just, you know, a boost is a boost.
A boost is a boost. I'm afraid to ask this question.
Don't be afraid.
Go now.
Now you're doing that until you ask it.
All right. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Right. Is this something freaky?
No, but we can go there.
Take it there.
I will go there next, actually.
Okay.
First, I want to ask, though, is there a time limit on you guys' man for the ring?
Oh, wow.
I don't want to put, put him in the fire.
Two pops?
Yes, there's a time limit. Let's just keep it to Virgil's.
Keep it to Virgil's.
Yeah.
I feel like 2 years at this big age.
Yeah.
Pressure him.
You always say that, but it's easier said than done.
Pressure him.
Because we're on the other end of
I know, I understand.
We're on the other end of that.
Put that pressure on that man. I know it feels like it's not going to feel the same.
Los is like, hell no.
Okay,
no,
so when would the pressure talk start? Do you start the pressure talks in the like early relationship stages? Like, hey, just so you know, like within 2 years, I would like to be married if this is a fit. Or as a relationship progresses.
As the racism progresses. Okay. I think
just small little conversations here and there.
Just being like, yo, like, what's your end game, bro? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be married.
So what if he says my end game is marriage as well, but maybe there's not the a time.
But
it's talking about the time that makes it difficult.
Bring it up. Be like, look.
Lowe's?
Because
is there a hard cap on the time?
It's not. I'm learning there's that it's not a hard cap.
There's never a hard cap, but there's a point where it becomes unreasonable.
Yeah.
Where it's too painful to not.
What are we doing? Because again, it's like the feeling of wanting to be chose that is still underlying. Where you feel like, do you feel like I'm not worthy of marrying? If you feel like you love it here, you're enjoying the relationship. Why aren't we progressing to the next step?
I feel that men have a idea of who they are when they're in marriage, and if they don't feel like they're that man, it's hard for them to pop the question up.
I'm waiting on the question to be popped.
I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking from experience. Like,
pop it.
What was really hard for me to commit to that proposal was that, am I who I envisioned when I was 5 years old in a marriage right now?
Marriage is that necessary, though?
It's not necessary.
Because the thing is, if we're growing together, becoming one, whatever.
Hey.
We can do that together. You don't have to be this fully evolved version of yourself before you decide to marry someone.
Easier said. We're on this side. Kind of going back.
Maybe
to
as a man, like, because as a woman,
we're doing that Spider-Man thing.
Yeah, because as a woman, we're thinking
we can help.
Help me.
You.
I'm a movement by myself.
Yeah,
but I'm a force
when we're together.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Because we want the man to lead and provide.
As young men, especially young men, we're older, so hopefully you're married, so this doesn't really apply to you as much. But when you weren't married, hopefully you were a little bit more immune to the narratives that get pushed on social media, right? Yeah. Like, a young man these days is not going to get the impression, at least a lot of young men are probably not going to get the impression easily that women have that viewpoint. I want to grow with you. The impression that a lot of young men get is that they need to have everything together. And not just have it together, but they need to have more than what is average.
Uh-huh. I understand.
You know what I mean? And while I do believe that there are women like y'all out there that have the same mindset and are pushing that same, you know, story and narrative, I don't think the balance and the exposure weighs in y'all's favor.
Well, this is where the pressure comes in.
if you're saying, if you're pressuring me saying that we can have a partnership and I'm not expecting you to be, now don't be a bum. Have something going. You know what I'm saying?
The potential has to be there.
Yeah, like an active potential.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not expecting you to be. This is the thing. We live in 2021. Like, and we also live in Los Angeles. I don't know how it is in Alabama and Tennessee and all those places. But
you tell us, Los.
It's right.
Once she finishes this sentence, I'll let her know.
I'll be bringing my experience. It's expensive
as fuck to live here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you do have to have a partnership mindset for the everyday person in order to achieve goals.
It's almost the way it was. Like, I don't. What is that? Like, what is that called? Where people were getting together because it was necessary.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh.
Well, that was fucking for livelihood,
that was
protection.
Like half of the thing with marriage. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Same. Let's bring that narrative back.
But, with more sense. Would not like with more that. Sense.
Well, not, I mean, I understand because it's hard. It's really hard here. People aren't doing it by themselves as the way they want to do it.
Yeah.
And partnership can enhance your life. Like, that's how I think of it. I'm thinking, like, you know, yeah, I can take care of myself. I'm able to support my lifestyle, but if I'm with a partner who's equal or even greater than me, we can have more. We can achieve more. It's not like I'm trying to ride on your coattail.
Yeah.
I'm bringing something to the table too, so we can rise to the top.
Yeah.
I can see how it can be hard for someone who feels like you have to carry someone. Like you have to fully take care of all of the needs and necessities, essentials. I can get that pressure. But if a woman, a bad bitch, is saying, you don't have to carry me, like I'm contributing as well, then what is
just
the problem?
Put the ring
what
on
are
it.
We hope? Yeah. Like, yeah, what it was. Yeah,
but this is the pressure. You guys having this conversation here is that pressure. It's like, I'll put like this, and I think a lot of people would not like me saying this, but I married Shan from the pressure.
See?
It was pressure.
I
she
think
put,
most men would say they married.
Every man that I've talked to was like, I was like, yo, how long was your wife talking to you?
Unless about they're a Christian man.
Unless, except for JD. JD was
the
one.
Christian men.
He's not Christian.
And maybe the JDs, they operate differently. They're like, I'm married, looking for a wife.
I'm searching for my
you know what I'm saying?
No, that's true.
If you stumble up on one of those and all you have to do is show up.
Religious men in general.
Religious. I'll say religious.
Because they've been holding out. They want to have sex.
Not that. We ain't talking about the celibate, man.
They've been fucking.
Right. We ain't talking about the religious man.
No, they've been fucking.
The religious man is saving it for marriage.
No, honestly, truly, religious men marry quicker.
Different,
because they want to have sex guilt-free, even
if
they
are. It ain't even that.
It don't be that. They're principles.
It's because of the it's principles. Because, right, it's because their moral
and they want sex.
Dogma dictates that they have to, they need to have a wife.
For guilt-free sex.
Not just for guilt-free sex, but to fulfill the spreading of the seed and to multiply.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that with just random women if you want to follow your biblical code.
Well, to get back to the story. I'm giving my
what story. Oh yeah, you're for the question.
I'm trying to help these Christians out, bro. Golly, you're just
exposing them.
Yeah, I'm giving. Ooh, I don't want to say I'm giving because I haven't even given him.
She hasn't given, but in your mind,
have you had any conversations about marriage with him?
Yeah, we want to be married. That's our objective, the end game, end goal. Mm. But I think as far as like a time frame,
You don't have one.
It was no, I have one.
Oh shit!
In my mind,
she has one.
In my mind, yes, I do. You know that.
So. In my mind.
How long have you guys been dating?
We've been dating since
3 weeks.
No. We actually started dating at the top of the pandemic. It became official in December.
Almost 2 years.
No one. Come on now. Don't
have it. It's been like 2 years.
Once you quarantine that extra.
No. Okay, so that's the thing.
March 2020 is when that shit kicked off.
Yeah, like March 2020. So birthday, we met in January. Okay. We met in January of 2020. Shit. We started hanging out and dating in March of 2020.
Okay.
It became official in December of 2020. And here we are in basically June,
is
right?
Yeah. Quarantine
so,
together?
Yeah, we were quarantined together.
Quarantine.
My quarantine. So, I would say next year, December would be.
It's the time.
It would have to be the time. The 2 year mark.
I mean, if y'all quarantine.
I know. And the thing is, he don't even know.
Hey, tell him. But low key, if y'all quarantined together and y'all like legit spend a lot of time, like, y'all just expedited probably.
It wasn't like, but the thing is, I feel like we weren't like in the same house all the time. We were within the same household, seeing each other frequently and just dating during the pandemic.
So how do you
just out here not giving a fuck? Jeez, just a day all out there. In multiple households, ooh, seeing each other.
It was like my household. Because we were in multiple households. Like we would go to my mom's household.
Okay. Yeah.
It was basically our households coming together. His mom would come to my mom's house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
We like our families.
You guys expedited.
We've kind of integrated in a very seamless way, right? Very natural way.
I was about to say,
how do you guys admit?
I'm going to tell you, Shay.
Give me advice. Shay. Give me advice.
This timepiece, like how should the conversation
What's going to happen if you don't bring it up? It's going to come out in tears. And I'm telling you that because that's how Sham brought it up.
I'm not trying to be in tears.
Moment where she held it in. She wasn't having the conversation with me. And I was doing something nice. And she thought I was proposing, but I was just doing something nice. And
you was just tying your shoe?
I was doing romantic gestures. I took her out. I got her gifts. I did the whole thing. So in her head, she was like, oh,
he's setting me up for proposal.
Yeah, and I didn't.
And then we went to sleep and woke up the next day and nothing was popping.
And she was like, came to me in tears. She was like, I thought you were going to propose. Like, what are we doing?
How long was that from the time that you all decided to make it official?
I want to say a year.
Ooh, she was like, get on it.
But she just hit me like reality. Like, I'm 32, 33 years old. Like,
same.
I'm not trying to be an old mom. I'm not trying to, like, I'm trying to move this forward.
That's me. What you're telling me. That's, and we're 4 years apart.
And so that's, and that was the same as me, Shane.
And he's young.
So it's,
yeah.
You got to tell him, like, you got to tell him. Like, these are the pros and cons to dating someone then you're older.
Yeah.
I am a little bit further in life. You got to catch up. So that's how Shan had to break it down to me. Like, look, you chose to date an older woman. Let's get it going. Right. I'm getting older here. I'm 33 years old. I'm trying to be married.
That's what I'm going to say on my 33rd birthday.
Yeah.
I'm bringing around like that. It'll
now she done set a date.
I'm going to be like, these are the pros and cons of dating a bomb ass fucking
Let them know.
Woman.
Let them know. So I'm a fan of pressure. I know men don't like that.
A little pressure is healthy.
I didn't like it in the moment.
Until somebody
pressuring you. So how shortly after the pressure did you?
Quit.
Really?
Yeah, I was quick.
You said I can't lose my good thing.
I was quick.
I think pressure when directed wisely is can be a guide.
With intention. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, just like unrelenting, just overbearing pressure.
How old is he?
That would just.
28. Yeah. He'll be 29 this year.
Yeah.
So, you said before 30, if they're not.
You're not even 30 though, right? Or you just turned 30?
Oh, I thought you said that.
I never said that. That was not you.
I think that was JD.
Yeah, that was JD. JD was saying that like before 30, men are useless. I never said that. That's not true.
I think the older they get, the further away from 20 they get, the better they are as far as relationship wise.
Yeah.
But
not that all men need that. Yeah. There's a lot of guys that.
The ditties.
That are cool at a young age.
The ditties of the world. Yeah. This nigga 50 still playing games. Like, your dick is about to stop working.
They got pills for that.
I was going to say. Thanks to Blue Chew.
Matter of fact, actually.
Type in the code.
Right now, we're going to take a break for our sponsor, Blue Chew. Get your dick right.
How long after the pressure did you decide?
I was quick. It was like months.
What? Yeah. See? Ooh,
see,
girl, put the pressure
applied
on.
Wisely,
I would love
so
that.
Was
I was months.
You know what I mean?
But you know what it really was that, like, we don't know what we want. Because I did not like the pressure in the moment.
Yeah.
When we got married, I was so grateful.
Aww.
I was like, this is
what I needed.
This is
how. How close up to the wedding did you feel like? Did you still feel there was pressure on you?
No, after I bought the ring, I was.
There was no.
After that money was spent.
After I bought the ring, it was like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. Come on.
But it so was.
I can't wait till the ring hits my finger.
The moment a ring is purchased for her.
Would you be disappointed if it was like
a small ring?
Cracker Jack?
Yeah. I think like come at least 1.5 carat.
Cracker Jack, I'm gonna say, boy, you could have waited a little longer.
I have no idea. Yeah, what's the look? Y'all got something on right now that I can?
I ain't got shit on. I'm waiting for my shit to hit.
Keeping it clean.
No costume.
What's that? Stud in the ear.
I have nothing.
I only have.
How much should he spend?
I would honestly. So this is the thing. I want a sustainable. No, it's fine. Yeah. I want a sustainable ring, something that's like eco-friendly. So, I would say anything between 4 and 6 would be okay for me.
Oh,
like,
that's
a carat to a carat and a half would be. Yeah. I would be grateful.
All right. You're like, you're gonna have to put that up to 20.
I mean, a carat to 2 carats to 2. Now, if we're 1.5 to 2,
mine won't be sustainable.
Yeah, she doesn't want to do the sustainable.
It won't be take a blood diamond.
Yeah.
Bloody moves.
I will not support.
She wants a blood diamond.
We do not co-sign the uses of blood diamonds.
I think I don't. It won't be sustainable, but I think a 1.5 to 2 carat. Yeah. I don't know what the price would be. Just something that looks
clear.
Yeah,
they make sure it ain't foggy.
No clouds.
Exactly.
No clouds.
Yeah, crystal diamond.
And here's the thing. Here's a little tip to men.
Give it to them.
Yep.
You can.
Fund.
Finance that.
After pay that bitch.
You can finance that.
Clarin of the ring.
Yeah. I'm not against a payment plan. Yeah. Whatever you gotta do.
That's what I did.
I'm fine with that.
After pay.
Make sure you get insurance on it so that way you can report it stolen. Just in case.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm not against a payment plan.
Yeah.
Just put UK. Some respect on it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I just want him to, like, I damn near want to be like.
It's a symbol.
I just, you can afterpay it. That's what I wanted. You know.
They know that.
I don't think men know. A lot of men don't know that you can finance.
Oh, you didn't know?
I didn't know that.
You think you just have to go in and pay the 6, 7, 10 bands, whatever it's going to be up front.
I didn't know that.
See? I was watching Black Love, this show on OWN, and the guy said that when he was preparing to propose to his wife, who I believe put a little pressure on him.
They all do.
He was saving up the money.
Pressure tonight. Pressure tonight.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Yeah. You moving fast.
Yeah. We inspired.
Yeah, fast.
The wife put the pressure on him.
We're sorry.
I'm sorry, man. But you will be grateful.
He said that he was like not taking her on dates or asking her to pay for everything because he was saving up for the money. Like, can you get this? Can you get that? I would be like, he stopped treating me. Why am I paying for everything? But he got her a nice ring.
See?
Would you rather that?
What if she had broke up with him right before?
Man, she would have played herself.
Like, then he would have just had to show her, this is what I have for you.
Yeah.
During the conversation.
But
the
now
breakup.
You ain't getting it.
No.
Close the box.
Yeah.
You have a very Chris Rock-ish sense of humor. Did Chris tell you that?
We move fast.
Chris Rock-ish is very Chris Rock.
TTG, baby.
What are you about to ask?
Train to go.
Yes, indeed.
You about to ask a question.
How long from the time that she put the pressure on you until you got the ring?
Literally, how long?
No, it was,
how long?
Let me start it tonight.
Yeah, tonight we have the combo.
I want to say 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the proposal happened.
Okay. Yeah.
So you were kind of.
What
ready.
Are you planning to say? Push.
I'm just gonna be like, I don't know, y'all. I have no fucking clue.
Well, if you have
just
any
wait
tips,
this comes out, I
throw
guess,
it in the
like,
comments.
Just watch
in
the this.
Yeah, I'm be like, you know, so we were talking today.
There you go.
What are your thoughts?
Oh damn.
I can't wait till the day someone pressures you.
Oh.
Maybe he won't need to be pressured. Maybe
you know
he'll,
what?
Maybe he'll just know.
You know, I think you might be right. Like, I don't necessarily think that I'm going to need to feel a lot of pressure. I think when I meet somebody that's right for me and it's the right fit, I'm probably going to kind of know pretty quick just because I've burned through so many bad, like, relationships that, even at this point, I've been pulling back just as, you know, how much I date and how much I'm, like, even meeting people and stuff just because I'm, like...
Who has the time?
I'm tired, like, low-key. Like, I don't know. Like, I have to get struck. You know what I mean? And then I start to really move forward and progress. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I'll need a push.
You won't.
Yeah.
That's why women be wanting to date older.
Yeah, that's why. Because when you're dating these young motherfuckers, they have you waiting forever.
That's true.
They got time.
Unless they're Jared. You know what
I mean? That's what true. I mean, I still made her wait.
Yeah, even you made her wait.
Yeah.
But not too long.
She had to cry.
I hope I don't have
but
to cry.
But not too long. I feel like after waiting 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
is sick.
Yeah,
that's not right.
That affected you probably more than you probably know.
Yeah.
But I was in a 7-year relationship and we entered in the relationship at 23, so I didn't feel like
not too much pressure.
Yeah, I didn't feel.
Did you want to marry him?
At the time, yeah, but God knew.
Yeah. He knew to steer you block away from it. That one. Block it. Close the door. I mean, I was also younger.
At the time
younger.
I did, I was like, was it 25?
I don't know. Early 20, mid 20s.
Whatever year
early 30s.
I said, I was like, if I'm not married by da 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 da,
I'm done.
We're done.
We're done. And here we are, done.
Yeah.
It was necessary. I didn't need to be married.
Do you want to marry the guy you're with now?
I don't know. It's too soon to tell.
How long have you guys been dating?
6 months.
Do you think you should know at 6 months?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just I don't curious. Think so.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think 6 months, you still have like the person still hiding things. Mm. And not necessarily.
Yeah, I'm the person.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily
the
bad.
The person. No, not like not that. Bad, it's just but, that I'm not yeah. a quick pour.
Yeah, you're not inner, poor. Yeah, you're not,
you
know,
so.
Opening it up all the way. Yeah.
What's your sign, Los?
Aries.
She going to say something about Aries.
I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm a March Aries, if that makes a difference.
What, is that bad?
And I was born at 11:11 a.m., if that does something.
Is that bad?
For you.
The time.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
What does it mean? I don't
she
believe
She has a thing against Aries. Aries.
I do. What's awesome. JD's sign?
What is
not
JD?
An Aries.
He's not?
I think he's a...
When's his birthday?
He just had his birthday. Like, no, he didn't just have it.
Well,
like
what is he? What is he? What is he?
Taurus, maybe?
Is he a Taurus?
What comes after Aries?
March, like, yeah,
Taurus.
I think he's either Taurus or whatever comes after that.
Gemini. What's after
Gemini. So it hasn't been that soon, right?
No,
Gemini
he's
just
Taurus.
Started.
Gemini
he's a Taurus.
I think he's a Taurus.
He's a Taurus. Okay, yeah. Aries.
Yeah.
You're a calm one, though.
The first sign, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah, the baby. One? The baby of the zodiac.
No, the best.
Huh? Yeah.
They are the youngest. It's where the zodiac
is. How are we the youngest if we're the first?
That's why, because the zodiac progresses. It's like the baby, the first start.
Oh, the first step.
She exactly. just had a personal experience with an Aries.
What's bad about
so
Aries?
So without us, nothing else happens.
No, absolutely not.
It starts
not
with us.
It
what
does
you're
not.
Telling me. No, I mean, we're the first.
I had a personal experience with an Aries, and I'm just like, drama. Are but you don't seem dramatic.
Because you're not in a relationship.
You seem calm. Do you be hitting women with some like
theatrics? Oh, I thought you meant literally hitting.
No,
I'm like,
no.
Do you be hitting women low?
No. Do you be hitting them with like theatrics and like the drama and drama?
Like, I'm gonna talk to the lady like that type.
No,
of stuff.
Like no, like
what lady?
The lady.
Like Justin LaBoy. I'm gonna go to the.
No, that's a real thing though. Like
what's
that's
lady?
That is like.
What is it?
Oh, that's been pulled on me for sure.
The lady's
I've
a
decided.
Real lady. Yeah.
Let's go to therapy.
Yeah.
Therapy.
The lady's just like therapy.
Therapy.
I'm
like, let's not talk to the lady. Fuck the lady and fuck you.
Is that your vibe? Are you kind of dramatic?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't threaten.
What's your rising?
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's okay. We'll talk later.
Yeah,
okay.
So you're into astrology?
A little bit.
Just a little bit of.
I'm into
just
it.
A little bit.
I'm into much. It to a degree. Like I don't sit up.
Tattooed on
no,
you.
No, no.
I'm just
Libra.
I'll say, where's it at? Where's your scales?
No.
Are you into it?
Yeah, she's I'm into it. I'm into it.
Like heavy?
Into it.
You check your horoscope?
Not daily. Like, I'm into it to, like...
See where the compatibility lies.
Yeah, if they say that I'm compatible with a certain sign, my antennas go up. But I'm not going to just, like, cut you off if they say we're not compatible.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't believe in it.
At all?
No.
Not at all?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I've believed in it in the past.
You have?
Yes. I've used.
Did I sway you?
Pattern?
No.
Co-star?
No, I didn't use those. I mean, I used those, but what I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to think of a term for it. But I've used the horoscopes to my advantage.
Oh God!
You are very
horoscope bomb. Yeah. Is what I did.
I'm an Aries.
Very
baby.
Manipulative.
I'm like, oh yeah. You like. Oh yeah, look at that. We're a match.
Oh
no, I can't
God.
Be horoscope bombed. I'm not into it so much to where I can be horoscope bombed.
I don't believe in it because
It's pseudoscience.
So you think there's like no truth to it at all?
None?
No. I think that they're labels in the sense that everything is labels, like yes, me being born in October means I'm a Libra, but that isn't tell me who I am.
You need to be proud of being a Libra, okay?
Why?
Because I don't think it tells me to
she's
lie.
A Libra as well.
Yeah, she loves it. Yeah, you could tell. Yeah.
Oh. Why do I need to be proud of it?
It's a good sign. We're very charismatic. We're good-looking people. Hey. We're the life of the party.
Every Libra? Hey.
Yeah, okay. That's
that just sounds crazy as hell.
We're very... Okay, every Libra. Libra's I mean, I'm pretty sure there's some ugly ones out there. No tea, no shade, but...
That
Look
sounds
up.
Crazy yeah. as hell.
Look it up.
I think it's cool in a fun sense. I just kind of like...
Is well, it a good, good. Smile?
A good smile? It's a good smile.
I don't fully invest in it. Like, if it tells me... Like, I take it...
With a grain of salt.
Like, yeah. I'm like, oh, you know, like, some of this applies, some of it doesn't, but I don't use it to, like, map out my mood or life or any of that.
Yeah. I'm not like, what
karma?
Is that called?
Yeah, yes. Bitch, if you fuck me over, you'll be fucked over, too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I believe in karma.
What?
No.
Oh, you think we're just all living here and our bad, the shit that we do doesn't come back to us? You don't reap what you sow?
No.
No, well, I don't think you necessarily reap what
no,
you
sow. No, there might be some truth to that because...
there's billionaires in this world. Billionaires if you... There's no billionaire made $1 billion clean.
I think they probably don't reap what... they probably don't believe it, so they don't see it as reaping what they sow.
Well, then there's no karma. Karma, like, karma
oh,
has
so
to,
does it, karma only exist
yeah,
if you believe
it? Has
it?
To be,
I
no,
think
it has
anything
to
only
no.
exists if you believe it. Otherwise, you point. Don't put any thought into it. God only exists if you believe in it. What I mean, anything.
I don't believe in karma... I believe in probability.
Yeah.
So
explain.
If you are a shitty person, mm-hmm. if you let's say you rob people, chances are the people you hang with are
robbers
as well.
Yeah.
And chances are you will get robbed.
Or you'll get caught.
Or you get caught. Robbing. Let's say you, other people are not robbers around you. You are going to get caught by the people who do not steal. So I feel like that's not karma. That's just probability.
Isn't it just calling it something different?
Yeah.
No, because. Because,
yeah, I would say if, when you chalk it up as karma, you're just writing it off. You're saying that there's nothing that you could have done to influence it one way or the other.
The bad deeds that you do will catch up to you, which yeah. I don't believe. I think that if you, for instance, I always hear this from women. Oh, he's a fuck boy. Karma's going to get him.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because, you know, it might not be in a way that people are thinking, but maybe it's in a way that you've played so many women, you're going to come across someone who you fucking fall madly in love with, and she's going to be like...
But that's just probability.
Won't happen.
That's probability.
I'll tell you why it won't happen, because the fuckboy is going to know the game.
No.
As soon
well,
as...
But
no.
Well, we can take your scenario.
Okay, let's go down
that road. And
let's
like,
go down
she right. might... It might be somebody... It's not even a matter of games or not. It might be somebody who he just really falls for and is like, this is the person that I'm trying to be with. Fuck all those other women, and then they invest in one another, and she breaks his heart.
I mean, I would say it's still probability.
Probably probability, but I would wager that what's going to happen is he's going to distance himself from her. As soon as he starts seeing that she's not interested...
Yeah, but
Not that she's not interested.
What if she's cheating, dating?
Playing by her rules?
Stop trying to do the Jerry.
Yeah, you're trying to change it.
I'm telling you from previous fuckboy experience. I'm not changing it.
You were changing it.
You can't take your
personal experience.
You have to play by the
rules. Okay, what's the rules here?
Jared.
What's the rules? So a fuckboy falls in love with somebody.
The rules are he's been a fuckboy. He meets somebody. He falls in love. They're in a relationship, and then she ends up breaking his heart or doing him dirty the way he's done people dirty. It's nothing he could have foreseen coming. She did whatever she did, and now he's hurt. That's his karma for all the women that he's hurt.
That could have happened to a nice guy or a person that was faithful.
It's not karma. It's just numbers. Eventually, if you're dating 100 women, you're going to run into one or two that's going to hurt you at some point. You can't just continuously always just have women who are, you know, for lack of a better term, dumb enough to fall for your shit. Eventually, you're going to run into a smart one or one that's just like you, if not more, you know, manipulative and cunning.
Yeah.
And she's going to put on you what you've been putting on other people. Karma is just, you know, it kind of is like the lazy person's excuse to not actually explore why things are happening or why things are happening to them or around them. It's not that because, oh, well, I'm, you know, things are going to get better for me just because I'm a nice person. My karma is going to build up. No, things might not get better for you because you're not working hard. You're just being nice and saying hello and good morning to people all the time.
Yeah.
Like, because if karma works, it has to be a universal thing. It has to work both ways. You have to have positive debt or positive credit. And you should have to have negative debt. This motherfucker is just over here. And then you should have to have a debt to pay as well.
Yeah.
And I think that we all know people who are pieces of shit that have lived long, happy lives, apparently. You know, maybe they're miserable inside. I don't know. But, you know, karma hasn't caught up to them. Like, I know people in business who have done terrible business deals with other people, and they're thriving. Diddy is notorious for not paying his artists. And Diddy's not hurting for money.
But maybe it doesn't come in the same fashion in which you give it, or it, you know.
It doesn't mean like money for money.
Yes, maybe it's not tit for tat, money for money. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's you suffer in other areas. We don't know, like Diddy's love life, right? He's done so shitty to these people in their like monetary financial lives, but then like he suffered in love. Mm. Maybe it's that.
Is he suffering?
Is he suffering?
I mean, well, we
I don't think
really
it might
know.
Be by choice.
We don't really know.
J-Lo on the reminisce tip.
That was sick, Nick. But
typical. He doesn't look like a guy that's suffering, but we don't know.
I think karma's hopeful. And I don't mean that in a disrespect. I think it's hopeful. I think when somebody gets done dirty, they wish karma existed.
Yeah, I think it's fun to say.
I've just released it at this point. If somebody, you know, like you,
that's
if you're,
more powerful. Yeah.
If you're holding on to like you did me dirty, I know you're gonna
get it.
Yeah,
it's gonna get
you.
So
you're waiting on somebody
like,
to
heal.
Get theirs. Like,
heal, nigga. Yeah. Heal. My one of my ex little boo-boos text
is,
me.
Is the right thing to do.
He did.
It's the be well.
Yeah, be well. He texts me in. One of my ex-boyfriends.
He texted you?
He did. And I'm like, get off my phone.
Yeah, I don't need this.
They always come to your phone.
He was just like, I just wish that I didn't. He's an Aries.
Was it a holiday?
It wasn't a holiday.
It was like a random weekend. And he's just like,
smart man.
I hope that you're good.
So saying it's more effective
the
if
future
on the holiday.
It's Thanksgiving,
like,
and I'm just thinking about how thankful I was
for what we had.
That coming a mile away.
I wanted for Christmas.
The odds are
better
than
that for you.
But no, it was just dramatic and just toxic. And all I can say is heal, release, let love, let live. What does that say? Live and let live.
I mean, it's, you know, it's not bad to believe in karma. I find that a lot of people are nice and do good things, so they get good karma. And I don't know if karma existed. I don't know if it works that way.
No, I don't think so.
Think it's like, you're only doing this to get something good. Well, here's your
and
karma.
And that's fake. Like, I don't even know if it would be. I don't even know if it would be activated.
It doesn't register in the universe that you've done something good. If
how many
you're
times
genuinely not doing something good?
How many? Yeah, exactly. How many times you heard someone, you know, you're doing something nice, like, yo, I'm just trying to get my karma up.
I've never heard
people say something.
I've never heard of that.
Never heard
that. Like something like they'll pick up a piece of litter. Something like, get my karma right.
Yeah.
Quick, you know, like
I know people say like that's my good deed for the day, but I've never heard of like get my karma.
Yeah, that's why I think it's fun. I think karma is more fun than anything
else. It's
fun. Else.
It's like astrology.
It's a fun little game. To play. There goes our fucking
karma. All the astrology days. Get in the comments right now.
I've already got killed for it.
Not even that.
I get killed for all the time.
Money out
the deal. The
right
deal.
Now. The deal.
You see?
But we believe in it. We're available.
Call us.
Holler at them.
I still believe in it.
Yeah.
JD does too. Everybody but him.
Well, what I was going to do was I told him already off top that like the other two hosts do believe in it. I think it's not real.
But I think
I'm
it's
in
fun
the middle.
Though.
I'm
and
in
there's
the middle.
Our area opportunity there.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle.
Okay. And our audience believes in it. So you want the money pattern? Give to the audience.
Period.
So well, so shoot, good. Man. This was a fun episode. You know, we got to have you on again.
Please.
I already know the people are going to love you. Where can they find you?
You can find us on Instagram at the Black Girl Bravado Pod. We have a website. TheBlackGirlBravado.com.
That's good. Don't email us.
That's where we are.
That's where we are. That's where you can connect with us.
Yeah.
Listen to our episode. I mean, our show, The Black Girl Bravado Pod. It's released every Tuesday. Conversations about spirituality, mental wealth, mental healthness, wellness.
Wellness.
Self-care.
Yeah.
The whole bit. Everything.
Relationships.
All of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wherever and you guys were just talking about moms.
We did.
We had our whole series with moms. We're not moms, but we brought on some moms to chat.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good time.
Wholesome content over there, guys.
Don't do that.
Now we're about to start talking about hot girl summer.
So stop it. Wait, you see?
Why are we talking about that? But you guys are on, and now you know you guys are in a relationship.
Ain't no hot girl summer.
We have hot girl summers, but our man is picking us up.
Pick me up.
Exactly. Our man is picking us up after.
At the club or
wherever we're at.
We're just doing hot girl activities during the summer.
Throwing ass.
Exactly.
Yeah. Both ways. Okay. In the streets
and in the sheets.
Exactly. Pick me up. See how that works?
Yeah, yeah. I like your guys' style.
I like that. You know, go ahead and get a good buzz up.
Exactly.
It's only going to benefit the boo-boo.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to get home that's and get
Shannon,
wild.
That's how Shannon is like.
Come home wild.
Yeah. Shannon doesn't drink.
Come home aggressive.
And so, but I drink. So she's always like, you know,
have another glass.
Every time I start drinking, she's like, "You get so freaky."
Ooh!
And I poured a glass of wine like a couple of days ago, and she was like, "What does that mean for us?"
Ooh, it means we're getting freaky.
You know what it means, baby.
Pour me a glass.
We're getting freaky. I'll see you in the room.
I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Right.
Tell your grandma about
us. Tell your grandma about us. Ooh. You know what the deal. Like, subscribe, share.
Yeah.
And we like the GMAs.
Yeah. Yeah. Peace.
Yeah, thank you for watching that video. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and comment. Don't be shy. Also, if you want to catch the episodes early, we drop the audio on Mondays everywhere where podcasts are available. So check us out. Look for the link in the bio. And don't forget to leave an Apple review. 5 stars now. You know we love that.